Welcome back to The Gavel and the Gavel. It's me, Harry, based at Windsor Auctions, and I am joined by...
It's me, Simon, in beach hutless Devon.
Dear listener, we're two episodes in from Storm Nelson and he's still upset about his... His missing beach hut.
Can I just tell you... Down here in Devon, the day that we lost our beach hut, which I think I mentioned in the previous episode, may have touched on it, not sure if anybody noticed. I went online because the kids were a bit gutted and I found a place in Yeovil that does custom-made beach huts. And I thought, well, I'll fill in their online form and say, look, we've lost our beach hut in the storm, Nelson, and blah, blah, blah. And do you know what? That guy actually phoned me back over the Easter weekend in his own personal time and said, really sorry to hear that. This is what I can do for you. I can get the blah, 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 blah. And we sorted it. We've got a new beach hut coming. How good is that? Don't get me wrong. He's not giving it to me. We are paying for it. But isn't it nice when a small business, I mean, he sounds like a great business, gives you that level of, you know, I literally said, we've lost our beach hut and all our possessions. And, I know it's difficult, but, you know, and timescales. Could you come back to me? My family would really appreciate it. And within 48 hours and in his own personal time, he gave me a ring and we sorted it all out. He's a lovely chap. Custom timber buildings, if you're interested.
Where are they based? So people want
wonderful.
In Yeovil,
and they make all sorts of outdoor, they do beach huts, but I think they're bigger on sort of timber buildings and garages and and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, your new studio in your garden or whatever. And yeah, we've put together the spec over the weekend and it's going into production and he's sorting us out a beach hut. And what a lovely fella. And I just want to say thank you to Custom Timber Buildings Limited in Yeovil. They've sorted us out. We've got a new beach hut coming. So if that Storm Nelson's got any ideas again, he can back off. Leave my new beach hut alone, Storm Nelson. Anyway, how are you, my friend? We have just had a terrific auction up in Windsor, haven't we? Absolute 2-day.
Yeah, we have. And we were chuckling to ourselves because we have started selling brown furniture again. Not as in the fact that we don't take it in. We always try for our clients to sell it. But we had a very, very... The first day of our sale is always furniture. Second day, jewellery and collectibles and military and silver items, which has always been, you know, good. But day one is furniture. Mm-hmm. And we were flying. And
unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was amazing, Harry. It was absolutely amazing. Harry and I have some silly little in-jokes when we're on the rostrum, like a Victorian oak darkwood wind-up table with no chairs, heavily marked, you know, it's very old and it's battered. And I'll whisper in Harry's ear something like, you'll get a badge if you can sell this one. Good luck with that. But my word, how many badges did you collect on Friday, Harry?
What we were laughing about is usually we talk about badges and we get one maybe in a sale. We were talking about rosettes and podium finishes by the end of the sale, weren't we? Because we even sold, and this has made a liar out of me and possibly you too, in every house and clearance I've ever been to, we even sold a reproduction dining room table, heavily veneered and badly marked. I'm not sure what purpose it is going to be used for, whether it's going to be painted or whatever. And we sold a corner cabinet. Now, corner cabinets are the bane of our collective lives. They're very out of fashion. We cannot get rid of them at the moment. Everybody knows the ones we're talking about. And it didn't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But usually they don't sell. And we're trying to find a way of recycling them. These, we had two and they both sold. So, yeah, we were incredibly happy that there's been a turning point. I suspect, as you do, it's slightly to do with, and this isn't being negative, but it's slightly to do with supply in the first-hand market and also to do with cost that we've been banging on about for ages, that recycling, repurposing, reusing furniture is by far the best way forward. And auction houses across the country are the greenest way of getting hold of good quality furniture. It's not all about antiques. Loads of auction houses, Lion Bay and Windsor included, have more general sales and general items of furniture. and it's all there. You can pick it up the next day that afternoon at reasonable prices.
Well, and I think that's the point, Harry, and this is something that I kind of want to mention is, I know on the pod we do like to, you know, because we have egos and all the rest of it, we like to talk about the painting that made 16,000 and the vase that made blah, 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 blah. But you know what?
Or your bracelet that made over 5,000.
He did, didn't he? But we still get equally as excited about selling a corner cupboard for 30 quid or a reproduction dining room table with no chairs for 20 quid because, people, it's kept it out of landfill. It's kept it from just being destroyed or recycled. It will go on to live again. And hopefully at the other end, there is a buyer who maybe isn't having the greatest time with their mortgage being hiked and the cost of living and all the rest of it, and might actually take this item, love it, enjoy it, and sell it on again in years to come. But it might actually make their day as well. And we feel all of that without a doubt. It's not just about the £1,000 ring or the £50,000. Yeah, that's great. But equally, they're actually the rarities. And Harry and I, we have been banging on about this, and we have had people on the pod listen to some of the previous pods to talk about sustainability and upcycling and recycling. And it gives us as much joy getting a huge warehouse like Windsor Auctions has of furniture out the door, repurposed, reused, not for huge money, but it means that we feel good about ourselves and our green credentials. And it's nice to see that the buying public are recognising that, which they clearly are, as proven by your sale on the Friday. It was brilliant, mate. It was absolutely fantastic. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, there is one story behind that. This is quite interesting. So we have a client who has bought a rundown house where they are pouring all their savings, young couple, all their savings into the house, obviously to do windows, flooring, heating, electrics and all the rest of it, all needs doing. And it's going to take them time, but it's there in their minds. It's probably their forever home. So they've gone for the biggest house they can afford, but it needs complete renovation. But obviously they need something to sit on and something to eat at and all the rest of it. So they have come to us, and I was laughing because I said, why are we delivering to this house? Because we'd quoted to clear it. Why are we delivering to this house? And they said, oh, that's where lots of the, you know, the cheaper furniture is going, because they need a sofa, a couple of sofas, they need a table and need some chairs and all the rest of it, just so that they can squat in the house while they're doing it. And so they bought it, but they'd also already said, when 2 years, 2.5 years from now, we're probably going to want to sell this. Do you think there's any chance? I don't know. There may well be. And it will just come straight back into the market. So it's just like you say. But it was really interesting that they knew how to do it. They know they've got to invest the money in the actual bricks and mortar, but they do need to exist at the same time and be comfy or as comfy as you can be. So, yeah, really clever, really clever. And so, yeah, we dropped half a Luton off to them so they can, they're not camping on the floor, which is what they would do up to that point.
That's absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
But yeah, good. It was a good sale. Yeah, it was a good sale. I do have to give a shout out. We have been, Windsor Auctions, it's not all about us today, by the way, but just so that, we've been invited back. So last year we had great fun at the Royal Windsor Flower Show and we were the compares for the day. I was joined by Will of Will's Reels fame. We will be going back on the 8th of June, 2024, 8th of June this year. And we're going to be comparing the Royal Windsor Flower Show. This is the best way to describe it is there's Chelsea Flower Show people there and there's surprise gardens on display. They're quite fun. Not a huge number of them, but there's some of those. They're great. There's talks about all things flower related and garden related. But there are also, so go to their website, there are also competition, there's a competition marquee where, you know, you can bake the greatest cake, you can grow this, you can do all the rest of it. So it's a mixture of everything. There's also a fantastic children's area. The Duchess of Edinburgh, I believe, is patron or certainly comes to the day and opens. Alan Titmarsh is there doing, is strutting his stuff. And then we're shouting over a loudspeaker or a tannoy system, telling you what's going on, what's happening, rescuing, rehoming. That's not the word. Getting kids and people back in touch with each other who've wandered off. Last year, they had a fantastic thing, Simon, which you would have loved, and I still wouldn't have won. There was the Chelsea pensioners were there, and they had a sack race because they'd watched the kids do a sack race, and all the Chelsea pensioners said, we want to do that too. So there was a Chelsea pensioners sack race. Slightly shorter course, I believe.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so it's a really good day. Tickets are on sale. We'll put the link in the programme or the episode notes. Note to producer D, if you wouldn't mind doing that. Get your tickets up in the Great Park. It's a lovely, lovely, lovely day. So I said I'd mention them, and we'll be up there. So listeners to the pod, or if you're customers for either auction house, come and say hello.
Fantastic. That sounds brilliant. You'll enjoy that. And I believe there are cakes, right?
Yes. And the nice thing about the cake, Simon, is I think we mentioned this on a previous episode, is that after the winners have won their cakes, they usually have made too many to take them all home. So at the end of the... And noticing that the compere obviously looks like he needs a cake, they bring them to my area and say, do you like one of my cakes? I had to employ people to eat them last year. There were so many cakes. Literally, I was sat behind a ton of them. It was great. But it's a good day. Really loved it.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I would like to use our podcast, Harry.
Yes.
On a serious note, to put out a little plea to some of our listeners. I would like Lime Bay to, this year, sponsor a charity. We do have the pots and the, you know, we do sell stuff for occasional charities. But what I'd kind of like to do is find a local charity, or when I say local, Southwest based charity, not a big charity. I'm not talking about the big lofty charities. Some of the local charities, maybe a homeless charity. There was a big challenge with the amount of homeless people and how to get them off the streets and how to support them in Exeter. But there, I know there are lots of wonderful small charities in this area. So if any of our listeners have got any ideas, or they think, here's a great charity that we can support in the Southwest, would they let us know? Would they come and drop us a line, drop us an email? How does all this social messaging work?
Yeah, if I'll take care of that. If you message us on our socials, we will do absolutely anything we can to get that sorted for you. So, yeah, you can message us on Instagram or put it on the gavel in the gabble. We will be delighted to get that to Simon, because Simon's, it's not his area of expertise. You can email us on thegavelandthegabble@gmail.com. So one more time, that's thegavelandthegabble@gmail.com. Email us there, one of us, or undoubtedly Simon, we'll come back to you and we will, yeah, we'll be in touch. Simon and I have got, this is not a criticism of other auctioneers. We have a policy with regards to smaller charities. If you want us to do charitable auctions, you've got an event coming up, give us a shout, contact us through that. If you're local to Simon, etc., and myself, there's no charge. We don't charge for smaller charities because we feel all the money should go in the pot to what you are raising your money for. So if you've got those sort of things, Simon and I, or both of us, or one of us, and other members of the team will help you out. We've done them for all sorts of people over the years, and we're happy to help. But yeah, Simon, that's great. We're doing that. I'd completely forgotten we were going to talk about that. That is... nice one.
Yeah, sorry. We've done some work with some of the bigger charities, with the RNLI. We've done their auctions for many years. But Harry and I were talking about this. We were just shooting the breeze. We do lots of little bits. But actually, what we'd like is a Southwest charity that we can really do a bit of work with, focus on, not just send a little bit of money now and again, but actually work with. So anybody out there that's got any ideas or any thoughts, do let us know. It would be hugely appreciated.
Right. Coming up. What have you got coming up as we're hurtling past Easter.
Past Easter. We've got lots of valuation days, I must say. And I do apologise, Harry. We were supposed to record this podcast a couple of days ago, and I let you down at the last minute, didn't I? Terribly sorry about that. But I let you down because a man rang up and said, can you sell my boat? Now, you know what I'm like when I hear that there's a boat coming. So I ditch the podcast in a heartbeat, not a problem there. Dropped him like a hot brick, dear listener. Sorry, Harry, I apologise.
Or a lot of hot bricks in my case.
Oh, quite, but a big bag of hot bricks.
Yeah, hot boulder.
Hot boulder. Apologies for that, because we took in a rigid inflatable boat on a trailer with a big engine on it. And yet again, basically, I got a call from my lovely wife, Susie, saying, do not, under any circumstances, buy that boat. I said, it's not even here yet. How do you know these things? I've been alerted by one of the team that there's a boat coming, so I'm straight on to you. It's not even in the building yet. You are not buying it. So that scuppered that plan. Anyway, we've got a boat in the next auction. We've got valuation days coming up, and we are spreading our net, dear listener. We are moving further and further afield because there seems to be quite a, and I know we've discussed this before, Harry, but quite a high demand for the valuation days. People feel far more comfortable, shall we say, taking their items along or taking pictures along to a valuation day that's maybe in a village hall or one of the community buildings. And we've got quite a few of those stretching out over the next month. So we're very excited about those. What about yourself? What have you got coming up at Windsor Auctions?
I'm doing the same. Valuation days, as you say, seem to be, and if you follow other auction houses on the socials, they're all talking about it. Obviously, Simon, I do some in community halls, etc. But I do aim for a coffee shop that sells cake and bacon sandwiches, obviously, or garden centres is my area. Like you, we're going further and further from our base in order to meet more customers because, and with the way that the auction world works now, and between us, we had, you know, well over 1,000 people bidding at our last sales. They're international. They're all over the country. So we're now taking the attitude that the items that we sell, although we service our local community, don't always have to be from right on top of where your auction house is. And so we're sort of spreading the word. But that aside, it's like the podcast. We set this podcast up in order to not just bang the drum for ourselves, which we do a little bit of, but not a huge amount of, because we're just talking about our working day. But all auction houses now are out there. They've got valuers on the road all over the country coming to see you and all the rest of it. Do get in contact with your local auction house at the moment to get an appraisal or go along to one of their local valuation days. What I would say as an aside is there are a wealth of companies, and somebody put a flyer, big glossy brochure actually, through my door the other day, where they offer to buy items from you on the day. My observation here would be, it is worth double checking what they're offering you. Talk to your local auction house before you go to these things, just to double check you're getting the right sort of price. I'll give you an example. I met a lady in Englefield Green the other day who was selling a sovereign coin, gold sovereign coin. And she had been offered £140, Simon, at one of these.
For events. A half sovereign?
No, for a full sovereign.
No, for £140 for a half sovereign would be okay.
Yeah, no, she'd been offered £140 for a full sovereign at one of these valuation days. Now, fortunately, what had happened is she'd rung us in advance. We were going to our house and she said, amongst the other things I've got is I've got this gold coin I'm going to sell. And I said, it's anything between 350, 380 at the moment in the valuation market. Yeah. The gold price changes, coins, but let me see it. When I see it, I can firm up on the valuation. So when she was offered 140, she went, well, that doesn't seem quite right. I'm not going to take that money then and there, and came away from the event. And I don't know. I didn't pick her brains, to be honest. But she did say to me, she goes, I'm so grateful I rang you guys first. She could have rung any auction house. I'm just telling this anecdotally. But I'm so glad I rang you guys first, because otherwise I'd have gone, oh, okay, no problem at all. That's what they're worth. I don't know. Here's my. She was a lady of an age. She wasn't a big, you know, surfer of the internet or whatever. And so just err on the side of caution. There are lots of lovely, reputable companies out there who'll give you a fair price. I'm not suggesting people don't have to get a margin. And run their businesses. That's not a problem at all. That's fine. And, you know, we're all doing that. We charge a fee. So, you know, I understand that. But there's an acceptable margin to earn. I think, is that fair? Is that where I'm coming from? I think that's where I'm coming from.
I think that's a very fair point. £140 for a half sovereign would be fair. For a full sovereign, absolutely not, without a shadow of a doubt. And I have to say, when we're banging the drum for the auction business, for auctioneers up and down the country, the one thing that I absolutely love, love, love about this business is that we will take 20% of what we sell for you. So we are all on the same side, us and the sellers. We will get you as much money for your items as we possibly can, because my 20% looks a damn sight better on 10 grand than it does £100. So we are on the same side. So we are going to promote your items. We are going to market your items. We are going to push them front and center in any way, shape or form, using all the resources that we have in order to make the best bang per buck for your item, because we all benefit. And that's the beauty. And when you go along to some of these events, how do you know whether £140 is a good deal or whether you are absolutely being taken to the cleaners? And therein lies the problem. If you're very, very confident that you know what your item is worth, great, go along, barter, haggle, get the price that you want. But if there's any doubt in your mind as to whether or not this set of chairs are worth 40 quid or £4,000, why not go to your local auction house, speak to them, let them sell them for you. They will want to get you the best possible price that they can, because their percentage works exactly as a percentage should. So, yeah, I think it's a very good point, Harry. A very good point. Now, on a slightly different point.
Oh, right.
I wanted to just bring something up. Maybe you. So we and this might be a question to our dear listener as well about auctions. So, down in Lion Bay at our last auction, we had a lovely couple. I'm sure you remember them. They sat on the second row on the right-hand side, and it was their first auction.
Yes, I do remember them. Lovely lady tried to bid against herself.
She tried to bid against herself, and I have bumped into them subsequently because, as I told you, they actually run a kiosk down on the seafront. And they sell bacon butties and they sell cups of tea and all the rest of it. It's lovely. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it's a super place, and it's been there for many years, and they're absolutely brilliant at it. Now, this couple, they run a kiosk. They speak to hundreds of people every day. The locals go there, the local builders and traders go there for their teas and coffees and their bacon butties. And the tourists go there and buy ice creams, and they have a lot of banter. I bumped into them and they said, oh, we really enjoyed the auction. They were ever so complimentary about you in particular, Harry, and how funny you are.
Oh, they were suffering from lack of sleep, everybody.
But here's my point, Harry. Here's my point. The chap I had that runs the kiosk, you know, he's probably deals with customers all the time. He said, oh, my word, it was terrifying. I said, what? He wasn't hungry. He's not going to eat. He was fine. We fed him and everything. You don't need. And he went, no, no, no. The first time I bid, he said, do you know what? I missed my first two lots because I was terrified to bid. I said, you're a big, strong boy. You know, you deal with customers. And he went, no, no, no. He said, you obviously don't get it anymore. To bid the first time at auction, he said, my heart was going. He said, and then when I'd made my first bid and won my first lot, it got easier and easier. He said, but his first bid, he said, it was absolutely terrifying. I didn't want to get it wrong. Isn't that amazing? For us, it's just like,
yeah,
and he's a big, strong boy. He's a big, brave, you know, he's out there selling to the public. He's no shrinking violet.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think that's why we auctioneer in the style that we auctioneer in, and every auctioneer is different. We do chat a lot, and we do try and bring, we take every lot seriously because we're trying, we bang on about this because we're trying to make the most for our customers. But we do chit chat and we do talk to people and we do make jokes and all the rest of it as we're going along in order to try and relax the room. Because I think if you sit there and somebody's just shouting at you a lot of numbers constantly, but even then, it obviously, yeah. I didn't realize this, even then, no. When you're trying to relax a room, it can still be scary. I think the most important thing is if you get it wrong, and it was interesting in your sale, we can use this as an example. There was a busy, busy sale room. And these people front right, weren't they? But back left, there was a lady who was bidding and was bidding on the wrong item.
Yes.
And she'd got it. And she'd looked at her catalogue, looked at a screen with photos because there's screens running, scrolling. And she was bidding on the wrong item. And it wasn't a problem. She suddenly said, no. I'm bidding on the wrong item. And I said, that's okay. And in our minds, because we know what we're doing, we wound the bid back to when she started bidding. There was another bidder in the room and then there were subsequent bids online and it wasn't an issue. We did not take the mickey out of her. We understood that she would be embarrassed if we banged on about it. We said, don't worry, absolutely no problem at all, madam. We'll just wind that back, quite understand. Simon and I do it all the time. Press the wrong button, see the wrong photo, start the wrong spiel. It just happens. Don't worry about it. Wasn't a problem at all. And I think if people realise that auctioneers, you know, we're not selling a £9.5 million painting at Sotheby's, where I'm sure they probably get slightly panicky if they're going up in £250,000 increments. But even then, they would wind it back and say, I get it, because there's no point pursuing it because you're not going to get the money in any case. It's a false bid. And for whatever reason, somebody's made a mistake. So let's not panic about it. So that's where I would come from it. But yeah, interesting. I don't know what else we can do to make people relax. Maybe we should fancy dress for the next one. What do you reckon?
Do we need to actually do a mock auction for people? I wonder if this would work for people who would like to come and bid at auction. But, you know, whereas this couple, they came along and then they stuck their courage to the metal, whatever the phrase is, where they, you know, they, whatever it is.
They steeled themselves and put their hand up, didn't they? They eventually got
and they bid. But bless him, you know, he was kind enough to say, I missed two bids because I was like, so maybe we should be running some kind of once a year or something. If you would like to bid at auction, but are too nervous to do so, on Tuesday night, we're going to ply you full of Prosecco. We're going to do a mock auction with mock money and mock lots. And you can practice bidding live at an auction where it's not going to cost you any money and see what it feels like.
Yeah, I'm in. Now, it's interesting because we interviewed Ben Temple the other day, didn't we?
Yeah,
a couple of months ago. Who used to run courses on buying at property auctions.
Yes.
So he was teaching people and they used to take a class, I don't know if they call it a class, but put the course to a Barnard Marcus auction to sit in a room and experience and get the buzz. And in fact, people subsequently went on to bid, didn't they, at auction and buy things. But that he was teaching people to get them over. Now, obviously, you and I haven't thought about that buying and selling it at a general sale. But yeah, maybe that is the way forward. Just have one fun evening. As you were talking earlier on this pod, we were talking about charity. Maybe we'll make it for that, you know, throw a couple of quid in the bucket, come along.
Lovely.
And we'll teach you how to auction, and let's make it a wine and cheese, or tea and cheese in my case, evening for a charity. Yeah, I think let's put it in the diary and let's see if we can help people. If you are nervous about buying an auction, don't be. Auctioneers are great people. Yes, we think we're funny. We all do think we're funnier than we are. And there are some very dry auctioneers who've got to get through 1,000 lots in a day. They haven't got time for the chit chat. They just want to get on with it. But generally speaking, the industry as a whole, we just want to help people out. I've not encountered many people in this industry who don't want to help each other and new people to the industry.
Absolutely.
You know, like Ed Cruttenden from Sunbury Antiques was talking old dealers are very quick to help new dealers on the block at Sunbury Antiques and all that sort of stuff. And it's the same in the auction world. People are keen to help. We have a situation at Windsor, which you've seen, where we've had a member of staff, a lady came in to bid for a very expensive ring, was very nervous and was so panicky that a member of staff said, I'll come and sit with you five lots before your lot and we'll do it together. And that's something that can be done just because she knew what she wanted to bid. She knew what her budget was. She just didn't. And so when the bidding started, this member of staff said, if this is within your budget and you want to bid, now's the time to raise your card, waggle your hand or shout at Harry. Interesting. Mate, I'm looking forward to that. That's something fun.
And just on a final note, just to wrap up this podcast, I'm wishing my good friend and fellow auctioneer Harry a very happy holiday. Where are you off to, mate?
Oh, yes. Copenhagen. I'm going to Copenhagen for a couple of days. It's, I'm not sure about everybody in holidays. Lots of people like to lie on a sun lounger and all the rest of it. I've got an itinerary of about 12 museums and art galleries, which Emma and I are doing because that's our thing. We're looking forward to seeing the Design Museum out there and all the rest of it.
Lovely.
I'm sure, as people know me, I'll be popping a few good meals in as well. But can't wait. Just a little weekend away.
Do me two favours. Number one, relax and have a wonderful time because it's very well deserved. And number two, come back and tell us all about it because that sounds like podcast fodder if ever I've heard it.
That will be the plan, mate. We need the content. All right, pal. See you when I go back.
Take care, mate. Have a good trip.
Cheers, pal.